studying the whole Spirit of God. We'd like to read a couple of verses to connect to it to begin with. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says in verse 21, 2 chapter 1. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us with God, wherefore sealed us and given the promise of the Spirit in our hearts. We were speaking to that couple of messages about prophecy, what tremendous events that would take place. And of course, whenever you think about that, you think of the tremendous events that have taken place in the spiritual realm.
God, we believe, if that family tells how worldly they live, But flesh you believe that they were.
They got drunk and the Lord saved them. They were poor and never thought anything about it. There were enemies of God who believed it, but still he said that you're a believer. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, every Christian has the Holy Spirit in front of you. If you have not the Holy Spirit, really you're not a Christian. And it's God who gives that. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God, and you're not your own, for you're born of the flesh. And God was disturbed by his truth, the claim of truth that belongs to him. It's the mark of life that belongs to him. That God is proper. That from henceforth is to be healing to the operation of the service of God in your life. And that is true of every Christian. Some people think that to be very wrong to have the Holy Spirit. There's no word of truth in that. You have the Holy Spirit simply because you are a Christian. If you want to live without a government, but you should have thought that you'll enjoy the operation. But you have the truth about his brotherly God. And it says that he is a full evidence. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is over chapter 8. He says, if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is not of it. He's not a Christian at all. But I want to emphasize before you that every Christian is the possessor of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this verse today. Fourth chapter of Galatians. The Apostle Paul writes those Christians and tells them in the fourth verse of that fourth chapter, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of whom, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. If the Spirit of his Son dwells in your heart, he says the same thing in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I remember leading one time with a very wealthy man, a doctor before, and if I turned out to be a renegade, he's not with his father, heart, soul, and will, his adopted father. The adopted father was a very wealthy man, and one day he looked at his boy, 18, 19 years old, with his heart exist. He said to himself, I've done all I possibly could for that boy. I've spent my life for the man I could to make him easy, to make him happy in every possible way. Just that way he threw himself so understandable, so willful. Then he said, I'll make it to the one thing for him. I wish I could put my own mind in that boy. But he couldn't, but God can, and God does. He put his own spirit, his own mind in you and me, for this truth. That mind is called that which is the mind of God, which is the spirit of that enables us to do what God wants us to do. I'm particularly anxious to realize that the spirit of us now is every Christian. It's not the result of some special devotion in your heart, it's the result of the fact that you are a believer. That the Spirit of God is not in heaven, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you said, I say it, said it before, I say it again. If you said it, no one, anything must leave God in Christian. But he still tells us that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If they're Christian at all, they're dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in our text, we believe a couple of issues by the time for us. They disturb the God of a number of things from the Christian. First of all, you live in our text and you read the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a seal put on the Christian. Now, why do you put a seal on it before? To keep it safe. Very valuable paper that you are not sealed. But if nobody can read them or see what's in them. If you don't make seals or stamp, a very valuable document, nobody can open it. The seal is for safety.
and you see your people out in the world, and you don't want people to see your hand or see your mouth. And so the Christian seals the gospel is very important in the sight of God. That's the mother of the moon then. We want the mother to be lost here. You have to see it. And then so you want to be a mother land to stay with them. You have to be here to know. One time we stay with the guest in the very lovely room. And in the drawing room, as they call it, the living room, the lovely room, on the mantel, the other room is a apartment, very ugly looking little thing. He was wondering what on earth they had it done. He thought like hiding it behind a picture, but he'd go home. And then one day, when he actually looked at the lady in the house, he didn't. He said to him, he said, are you interested in Chinese property? He said, what is this in the property? And the first time he found it was Chinese property. He said, my husband was an official in China. He paid $30,000 for it in the property. He said, it's worth only $50,000. And before that, he said, from that time on, he looked at the property with real respect for the same ugly thing. But it was worth $50,000. Do you value a thing, not the house, but the price of people? And since God made the highest price in the universe for you and me, that he values and he seals us so we can't get lost. And that's true, let me say, we are sealed. And the Holy Spirit of God, the secret of state, we are so valuable to God. The Bible says one human soul is worth more than the whole world. And Christ paid the highest price. Do not believe in silver gold, but the precious blood of Christ. The price that the Son of God paid by dying for Son of God, the highest price in the universe. That's why you're so loud. God tells that the price he paid. That's the price he paid. And so we are sealed, that's the first thing. That secondly, as we have the scripture, and the earnest of the study, believing that he is true. You know, the earnest of the study, you have to say it, you know, read chapter 1. You have the earnest of the study. What does that mean? Well, the word earnest is an old word used for the Bible translation in 1600 in the Bible. So the new word used for a down payment of it. Earnest, what is it called? The man bought it for horses. You have all this money in it, it's a down payment. Like you and I used to say, I'm not going to be a sort of situation. It was a down payment. Now the Holy Spirit is a down payment. What? Of all the wealth of power, God knows you're a down payment. I want you to know you're going to have it. It is a down payment. It is a little bit you get from it now, you're going to get all of it, you're going to get home to heaven. But that's how you get those taste of it, those down payments. And God makes the down payment. To tell us that God, we are not blessed with all these debts, we are not rich to all the hopes of God. We now have the glory to regard, we will. Those God is the assurance that that is so. And then that these gods are the only way to enjoy the grace of God is by the church of God. He is the one that gives the faith so that so we are forever. It's the fourth way that we're going to have in eternity. That's what the Spirit of God is. It's only by the Spirit of God that you and I can understand, appreciate, or enjoy spiritual things. That's why the natural and the true God doesn't understand it, doesn't need anything. But he is not the Spirit of God. If the natural does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, but the Christian does, so he's got this new life, and the Spirit of God explains these new things to him as he goes to learn. That's the second thing I would agree that the earnest of the Spirit. Then third, Heavenly Christian has the anointing of the Spirit, makes that dear too. He has the anointing of the Spirit. Remember the Old Testament? At least the prophets and other people had anointing. Our Lord himself was anointed. And he became very good at me that the Spirit descended on him, was anointed by the Spirit. And the anointing was for service. The priest was not to be concerned about the prophets, but the anointing to be the priest for God. And so the Spirit of God should come on us, we are the ones to do the life. It says in 3 John chapter 2, we have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's for sure. That's another thing. Every Christian has. But we all have the Spirit. The enable us to enjoy our faith, to worship God and preach Him out to men.
Remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended, it says it sat on each one of them and it went into each one. And they were all filled, and He fulfilled them inside.
And it also said the Spirit was on them. It's the same thing still.
He is inside of them to enjoy the things of God. He's on them, but it's a devil out of trouble.
On the reality of this season.
The Spirit is not about personal enjoyment, not personal enlightenment.
For we understand nothing of divine things, we can't appreciate anything of divine things,
except by God's Spirit.
And that same Spirit is on us, so we can tell those things to other people, and they can enjoy the things that now we know.
Why not try to emphasize it today?
That
the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, that first is God, equal to the Father and Son.
The Spirit of God is the living God indwelling human
in order to
reveal the scriptures to us, to make them real to us, to make them real through us, for others,
by the Spirit of God through us, in the blessing of others.
Then there is a lot of other people with other things of the Spirit, that's the baptism of the Spirit.
You hear what they do about that? There's a lot of confusion about this fact. A lot of people seek a baptism of the Spirit, and you don't find it in the Bible, but this goes.
Yet never once we read the Bible, we see the Spirit of God.
Yet nowhere we can guarantee that ever we be anointed by the Spirit of God.
It never said we be loved by the Spirit of God.
It never said that we be loved by the Spirit of God.
For it's true of every Christian already.
It's not so special thing, it's true of every Christian.
And so it never said we be baptized by the Spirit, but it's true of every Christian.
You don't believe it, I do either.
First Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 13, and he writes to the Corinthians, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or union, all things are linked into one Spirit.
Now baptism is on the outside, and when you're baptized, you don't go to water on the outside, you put in the outside of the water.
But it says here, you're baptized with the outside, and you're filled to make them drink, you know, you drink something to the inside.
So it's kind of what I said about a little spirit about the outside and inside.
Baptism means like outside, where the world can see the people who are united with one body of the
and inside the spirit that comes down to you to enjoy the things of God and make them be one.
And that we are never leaving. People talk a tremendous deal in many churches about seeking the baptism of the Spirit.
Let me tell you, the Bible knows nothing about it. The faith means that it's okay.
It tells you in Christ that they all believe that all baptized already, and they're not God, he believes it either. So they're just a little worldly, fleshly God, but he's still saying they're baptized by the Spirit.
Now, today we're talking about the baptism of the Spirit, maybe some glorious, thrilling experience nobody else.
But I don't know nothing about that at all.
Just forget that belief of the other faith in the living hope.
Every Christian already baptized.
That's not to do with the Spirit of God.
That's to do with the baptism of the Christ.
Those believers are baptized by the Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost,
and that we can never meet it again after any other. That's to do with baptism.
It was not in the vision of the state of the union.
You must have stood about your magic all three people, one body in the church.
And that's the greatest magic of it. And that means that your people have never had a vision of the union.
But you never again read the Bible about the baptism of the church. It's a fact of the union.
It's the
faith of the
church.
And every thing that's saved by the faith of all the magic of the matter of the church is a scheme of God's baptized to that body.
But it's not an individual experience of any kind.
So forget about that. It's more than just about the people of mind.
It'll give you a special experience when only a person.
Now, as in none of these questions, Texas is a certain beast on it. Okay, he is God, but he is on it.
But there's one with us that talks about the church when he has a word of peace with you.
The reason that the Bible is an atheist, most of us know that fact.
It's that deal.
Jesus chapter 5, verse 18. loved his Bible in its excess by being filled with his truth. And as he boldly was praying that I thought to be something in connection with it, to be filled with it. Now that doesn't mean that you have to have more of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit has to have more of you. That's what it means. The Spirit is love. But you don't even have to be about you. Then you have more of you. You can't have more of him. So if it's God, you can't have anything to him. But he can have more of you. It sounds like the joke you tell on a little color road, it's not even more than that. If I live in the rest of some past of my health, I'm not too much water, I'm just going over, not from a bigger thing. And that's the way that the service of is not too much service. The service of the internal life, he wants more of you. That's what he's doing to serve. He wants more of us in our lives, but our lives is more fruitful. This way. Now I can guarantee that you will read the scripture, right? They would not enjoy being filled with the Spirit. But that's the only place that God, and I say it again, it's the only place that God can do that from anything, from any sense of spirit experience with the Spirit of other Jesus. In other words, God has given it. Now, if you go back to the flash on the city, you need to go get the whole of the flash for something, or you speak with some or something like that. It has nothing whatever to do with that. It's very very simple. He can tell you how you're filled with the Spirit. It's the very humiliating thing. That's why people won't speak of the Bible as a statement. The way to be filled with the Spirit is to be next to the Spirit of charity. How do you fill something with whatever you have? God is not going to fill you with the Spirit when your heart and mind and life are filled with other people. And so we can be filled with the Spirit that suggests it clean out of what he can do. You want to be filled with water, but the water of the empty of it. You let somebody hold you with your life as a gold plate, a soul or something, say, yes, thank you. But they don't take some glass of apple or dirt or leaf or black gold or whatever. The soul in there. If there is a glass that has to happen, they clean it out for the soul and wash it out for the end of the soul. And God is exactly the same thing. He's not going to fulfill God in you, fulfill you when your life is full of it. But it's just the soul and sin all the way. So he fills the soul, that is the way to be filled with the soul. There's a way for the Spirit of God to fill your life, but there's only one of them. That's the value of millions. That's not the goal. It's for you to clean out of the Spirit cancer. That's how. You want to know, I really need to be sanctified. I read the 18th verse. Read the verse that I've just seen, the 18th verse. And it shows that prophecy is that about cleaning out. The Spirit of the Spirit. Listen, Mother says, it's a very good thing to be captured. But all worthy, okay, all unclean, all covered, there is not even one thing among you. As the prophet says, these are filled, nor who is strong, nor just, which are not to be, but rather give no thanks. For this is not a normal one for an unclean person. Or covetousness, or an idolatry, any other thing of Christ that's wrong. That though I receive with great words of unleashed because of the last part of the children of this week, he said in verse 11, have no apology for the unfruitful works of God, but rather the students of the soldier. He's saying you need to clean out the letter. The servant never let the soul do what he wants. He never let it use his mouth so the way he's able to. Our blessed all life is clean. He's not going to let you do that he's dirty dust. And the woman is a whole other Jesus. And you look around dirty clothes before the eyes of man. Dirty clothes. And so he tells you, go to the mouth of the chapter called the children that clean out the dirt. Cross, and you think a lot of yourself, this is not going to be, but you don't realize that I'm going to be. But when I have to be forced that I'm not so. When there's sin in your life, other than I told you, you may know something you have to do with me. Maybe covenant is claim money at school for that. Or maybe guilty, not that sin, this credit sin to us, I'm serious for all that. The third one is not going to fill your life with those things. So before you get to be filled with the city, about 70 verses 3, you're trying to clean out the city. So it's all transformed. And one of the things he mentioned, that's not good, exactly, but it's a little true. He said in verse 14, away from us, Jesus, that alive from among the dead in Christ on his side. Yet another thing you need to avoid is you want to be filled with it to go to sleep. To be a sleepy city. Here, we will see no care, no joy. No matter children, for that all this is the army of that or that, but very long year after the ministry, you will not accept. But you won't do anything with it. You're going to imagine how you might as well do anything. And many Christians are asleep and unrelenting. And God has never let a human do it, not even. They have no interest. All these things you can be free now. Awake out of sleep, but the life of a man dead. You are sleeping quick. So just the same as a wicked wicked sinner with a wicked. I told Paul here, I know, on some gallant, the old brother, that's where he had his feet out of the day or something like that. He gave his message down here to people. He said, here's something to eat. Now one down to say they sent for the corner. One man had died on the job for me to pull out of a shovel or something. And when the corner came, he had examined 35 times to put him on the head. All the rest of the place. And when the person is lying down asleep on 15 feet, he can't tell whether he's dead or not. He's lying asleep. He looks just exactly like a dead man. I'm a sleeping Christian, just exactly like I said, he may be a Christian, he can't tell me. So the question is in verse 14, away from the people and our God from among the world. Are you going to allow 35 dead people and just one man stood up and I don't know what to say? This is a blind up, stand up on the people, people see you. Be away from the job. That is still the problem of sin. If I'm mostly not attending, that's what the feeling comes. You know, the feeling is not some sensational experience, some glorious sort of a dream, idea of exhilaration, nothing like that. The filter is to clean out your life, to set forth by every sin to be the best of honesty and judge yourself, to be the best of to be faithful to God and forgive. That's what the cleaning out is done by. And then, the Spirit of the Bible says, well, I guess you say to the Spirit, you will be God, that's the way you want to have it, you will not. Now, what you can notice is that you're filled with the Spirit of the Seven Hours, which Jesus has to buy. So some people think if they're filled with the Spirit, they'll become maybe mighty Christians, like Billy Graham or something. Or maybe when they're filled with the Spirit, they'll be able to do good on it. When they're filled with the Spirit, they'll all be in an accelerated state of things to school, from all of the living is God. That is what I said at the end of the week. He said in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Then he says, speaking to yourself, or among yourself, the word is true. Talk to one another. Think among yourself, in sound and in a spiritual song state. Making melody our hearts and our hearts, giving thanks all for all the power of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our one word of the fear of God. Even if the elements are being built to the Spirit by this, talking about the things of God and our city, seeking the place of the Lord and being a thankful spirit, those are the elements that are built to the Spirit. Not that this Almighty food, not that your problem puts it out, but said to you what the lowliest Christian can, your spirit. Speak about the things of God. To sing the praise of the Lord and have a thankful life. There is not a common people. You can be goes to the Spirit, as the child of the woman in the womb takes care of the children. Because he's filled with the Spirit, that he has no one to speak to him, to be a Christian. Now they're trying to do some sensational. You don't like sensational things that will lead people astray. Don't be trying to be some big guy. Just be where I lay around about the truth. And I'm trying to do it in the shadow of the light, the things that are wrong, like self and pride and covetousness and sinful things. And criticism about the whole rest of those things. If you have the Spirit of God, the whole of life, and will use it in a place that belongs to God. That is the Spirit of God. That the only place that they can be reminded about a such a thing as an exaltation here is the connection with the Spirit. It is only connection with the Spirit. Not baptism, not the anointing, not the stealing and cutting over, but all to our family good. The only distinction is that God wants the Christian then to be wholly surrendered to Christ. There will be more so that there will be more of you. That's all of that. He is God, there's nothing wrong with him, and you are not there. When your life is subject to the glory of God, the Spirit of God, he is there. You are there. Now then, when the Spirit of God came on earth, of course, first of all, what we want to look at first of all, is what he does for us. Before God appeared to me, the Spirit of God came among the main species of God, the main servants of the Spirit of God, is to instruct us into the things of God, into divine things. I'd like to call your attention to three distinctions of the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural understands not the Spirit of God, but the things of the Spirit of God, knows the divine Spirit. That no man knows the things of man, save the soul of man, but an animal doesn't know what you know. You have to be a man to be. And you don't know what God is, but let that God be. That I am, you know, it's like I would have to have a. Because I would have to have a man to understand to understand. So I would have to have God to understand to understand. I guess that's what I get to do. God comes to knowledge. He's giving divine eternal life, the capacity to understand. That is the fact that we receive the renewing of the Spirit of the made new. They're made capable to enter into eternal reality. And the Spirit of our love to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And then the second in the Bible, the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in a threefold way. You read it. John chapter 14, our Lord says in verse 26, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and make all things to you the master. What the master? The Lord is talking about his own disciples. And he says, the Spirit of God will give all things to you the master. So those disciples didn't take notes like we do now. You didn't have any radio or business or anything like that. Those words are spoken and used yesterday on media. But the Lord asked that one when he said the Holy Spirit, he put a thing to the man, those things I said to you for that alone, for you could follow me to the man. But the Spirit is going to come and bring them back to you in the man. That's what they had in the four gospels. In the four gospels, they had the word of the things of Christ, and it's written by those men, lost back to them in the man. Mark and Luke are not apostles, but they're most likely walking among them, at least in fact they got a few others. At any rate, they brought back to the disciples the things that Jesus said. They had taken notes on the little note-taking that those days. They were sitting on back to the disciples. So here you have the Lord Jesus thinking to us the words of God, the truth of our life, that he knew that he served, and that he will live, but he was here on earth. That guy before God. That's the worst thing that's good about these thoughts. Thoughts are what you think of with the sense of wisdom. They back to the side. But if they go drag it out, the lots of know it now. That's the thing that I did instead. So what? And they rolled them down to the fourth office in the head. That's the first thing. Then secondly, in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, it says in verse 26 also, but when the Comforter is come, I will send of you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which is even from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he also shall bear witness with your spirit from the beginning. Now, so the Spirit of God, not only going to bring back the manifestation of Christ that he said, but the Spirit of God that said, would testify of Jesus. That's the second thing. The Word of God talks about Christ. In the Old Testament, too, particularly keep talking about the New Testament, talking about the Spirit of the Silent, the Listen. Because the Spirit of God will bring back the things that he said about me. Not the gathering of the Testament of Christ. In the four books, the four gospels have the fact of Christ in the Father. In the Episcopal Acts of the Lord, you have the family of present day. The two that concern your feet and all of our times, the text of the first, he brought the effect of what he had done on earth, and now there is the great truth that is in the Christian faith, all in the New Testament Scripture. And then finally, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, there is a liturgy. He said in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but that he shall hear that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That's the future. He said, the Holy Spirit will come and show us things to come. That's what we have, of course, in the book of Revelation. Hear that a little bit, but most of all, the Revelation will be there. He said, the Spirit of God will come to us to do those three things that God will teach you the Spirit. First of all, bring your pastors to tell us thy different settings of the world. We have to the fourth hour. Second, talk about Christ, what he is, the God. We have not been to do that from the first. And third, to tell us things to come. We have to move that way. In other words, the whole New Testament could go out to the Spirit of God and bring them. And so he did. For that threefold purpose, let us know the past, so let us know the blessings of the present, so let us know the things that are going to happen to you. Fact, present, and future. You have a new present. And the Spirit of God came to do this. So they get back to them, and the thought was about Christ, and all his wonderful grace and glory, and to bring the future to you. To reveal to us the things that are yet to be, things to come. You have that in the New Testament Scripture, particularly in the book of Revelation, where those three statements cover the Scripture. No New Testament Scripture, but the New Testament is unveiled the Old Testament. If you only understand the Old Testament Scripture, in the life of the New Testament. All the way to the Scripture, the Old Testament are made clear to us in the New Testament. Listen, Isaiah 53, you read, he must move the clouds and the earth. You don't know who to hear, you don't want to move the feet and the earth. But the New Testament says that he is Christ. And the wound that supposedly suffered and hang on the cross and so forth, it's our strain in the New Testament. And all Old Testament truth would be God without the light of the New Testament. Somebody put it like this. The Old Testament truth are like babies in a baby art gallery. But because I've done that, no witness, it's all solid wall, and you do not yet see any of those things. But turn on the light, and you can see all the things that are in you. Well, the old method of the eye, God, it's all dark. No light shining, that's what you've got a little bit of it. But in the new test, all the light of God's grace shines on. The light's on it, but also you can see all the lovely things. I can not believe, you know, I don't believe. Lived together as a people of Christ and his church, so the Lord is alive to do that. You would never know in the Old Testament. And so all those two lives here. Here in the New Testament, all that Christ is, all he has done, all he wants to be for mankind, and all that he's going through the future, are all made known by the Spirit of God. And so if you're going to be having use of the shelter of God, you have to know some of these things. You have to be straight. Is the truth thus not available? Your ways are divided. And it's useless until you're in the law. You need to know the mind of God. That's the first perception. The same way you go to school. If you want to know the other use of that, you have to learn the ABC and learn to read and go a little bit of mathematics so they get along. The same thing with God. The learning too, you have to be able to be useful in the service of God. And that's what the anointing is for. That's what the sealing from the earth of the Spirit is for. That's what the deep filled with the Spirit is for. It's also that it's the tremendous blessing too that you learn from the Holy Spirit's ministry. Can now be translated in our lives for the blessing of others. You are anointed in the Spirit. You are going to be anointed with a very sweet perfume. May your force light and mingle with oil, and it speaks of the blessing, the sweet, the sound, great eternal truth. And put out the soul to speak it so that we can spread by our lives something of the sweetness and blessing of all that Christ is for mankind, all we want. God has left us when Christ was in our meeting, he was God with us, and he's gone. And he's left us here to carry on that work. And for that reason, he gives us the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the furnace of grace, the Spirit of God, the furnace of power, the earnest God, the furnace he has sent us. You learn to know our truth and joy and so forth. It's all there for the purpose of making Christ. And among those things, before the last few days on prophecy, it's very healthy to the Lord, but people go down the wrong angle, or make mistakes in so well, and it makes the life a more intelligent to other people too, when you understand something, the purpose of God. And when you know that this world is not going on eternal blessing, it's going on eternal perdition, the Bible shows that the world is facing the judgment of God. You're not wasting your time to make the world better. You're spending your time to seek the same so that they get out of the world to heaven. For the judgment of God's truth. Over this world. Something like that is a minister to serve them up to us. He ministers indeed to us. And if by divine grace he ministers to us, he wants to use us at the end to make those things grow. He serves God as well as the neighbor. I'll live. And serve, and praise, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take it closely. And start here, number 444. 444. And so I'll listen to that 64. Keep up more life lessons. Our only lack of love gets the roots in our way to grow and be deep by the light.